Second hour, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Elijah Campbell here with you as we talk about conference realignment. Willie, there is news.
I'm looking at Chip Brown from 24/7 Sports, covers Texas, the Horns Network. Texas and Oklahoma, founding members of the Big 12, are leaving the league. And barring any unforeseen developments, they will join the SEC. A high-level source close to the situation told Horns 24/7. Texas and Oklahoma officials plan to inform the Big 12 on Monday that they won't renew when the league's grant of rights expire in 2025, a step that clears the path for the SEC to formally consider adding Texas and Oklahoma. Barring unforeseen circumstances, an SEC vote on adding Texas and Oklahoma, quote, could move quickly, the source said. Quote, in this changing landscape of college athletics, this is what's best for Texas and Oklahoma, the source said. So,
there you go.
They're reporting that it is, the train keeps moving and accelerating, that this is happening.
The train has left the station. Let's say hello to Michael Griffin, who, of course, is a former Titans defensive back, but also Texas Longhorn as well. Michael, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing all right. You hear that news, and I mean, I'm sure you've been following it, talking about the Longhorns leaving the Big 12. You played in that conference. What are your thoughts on potentially leaving for the SEC?
You know, it's kind of weird because, you know, you think about it, in the past, we were the Big 12. We actually had 12 teams in the Big 12. Nebraska, Colorado, Missouri, they all left. And it put us, and we added, and A&M also left to go to SEC, and then we added TCU and we added West Virginia. But, you know, as of late, I guess everybody could attest to the conference hasn't been what it used to be. And you know, I guess from the two programs, the backlash that, you know, the Big 12 constantly gets from, hey, you know, Big 12 is a joke. When it comes to always making the college playoffs and saying that, hey, it's an easier path when it comes to trying to make the college playoffs. So I think it's just good for football. I know for the longest, you know, people continuously say that Oklahoma and Texas can't compete with the SEC, and SEC is the best conference when it comes to college football, not to exclude the Big Ten. But I think it's good. I don't know what Texas A&M feels about that. I think they really enjoyed being the only conference, the only team from Texas that was in the SEC. But maybe we can possibly renew that rivalry that, like, Florida and Florida State and those teams have, you know, or when it comes to Auburn and Alabama, maybe we can renew that rivalry of things and get college football back exciting. But I'm sure the players in the future are very excited, along with should be some exciting football games in the near future.
Yeah, and I just, you know, you brought up the Big 12 and how since, you know, Texas A&M left and the other teams, Nebraska, the conference has just gone in the wrong direction. And for I guess I can't figure out why it has gone that way. I mean, these teams have left. You have two of the powerhouses that are leaving. What are kind of your thoughts on why the conference as a whole has – basically been imploding, and we'll see if there is a Big 12 after all of this?
You know, I really don't know, because, you know, I think Texas and Oklahoma has pretty much been the two teams that's at the top of the conference, despite the fact of, you know, people may say that Texas has not been what Texas has been in the past, but, I mean, still, I mean, the primetime games and things of that nature, Texas still are able to have those games when they come to ESPN or Fox Sports or ABC or whatever it may be. But when it all comes down to it, I mean, it's always been, okay, either Texas or Oklahoma is going to win the Big 12. I mean, there was a point in time when Briles was at Baylor and they had, you know, RG3 and, you know, all those great wide receivers that came out over the course of time. But it just, the Big 12 just hasn't been what the Big 12 has been in the past. I think just the respect. I think having a new AD like Chris Delaconte, I think he came in, he's trying to spice some things up, and he's trying to, you know, please the fans, the boosters, and at the same time just bringing this program back to where it used to be. And I think he's doing a phenomenal job of what he's doing. You bring in a coach from the SEC with Coach Sarkisian. So I just think that just all the familiarity grounds when it comes to the SEC, I think it's just there. I think it's just time for something new. I think just what has been the last decade, I may say, I would just say the Big 12 just hasn't been, you know, what the Big 10 or what the SEC has been. Even if you kind of look at the Pac-12, what it used to be back in the day with USC, I just don't think it's been exactly what it's been. But they have so many teams in that division, and the SEC has been some exciting football. You know, each and every night during the fall time, you constantly turn on Saturday nights, and you just constantly see SEC football. So I think it's just, hey, listen, if you can't beat them, let's join them, I guess, when you look at it.
Knowing what you know now about, you know, your college career and then, you know, what you've learned in your adult life, with name, image, and likeness being a thing, when you look back to your time at Texas, you're at Texas. You're at a known household name university. But how much do you think that it could affect things for a student athlete now with NIL, being at Texas, being in the SEC, as opposed to being in the Big 12, when it comes to trying to make money on your name, image, and likeness?
Well, you know, I think the biggest thing now is just back when I was playing, you know, when you look at social media, it's not what it is today. And I think just getting to know guys, who they are on and off the field. I mean, it's funny, when I was talking to Coach Sarkisian, and we was talking about what motivated players back then compared to what motivates players now. And I look at it like, it's the likes, it's the social media aspect of it. People want that glamour, people want that limelight. And I think just, again, when you look at SEC football, I mean, just hearing about the kid that's at Alabama right now, if I'm not mistaken, it's Alabama, that's looking at a seven-figure deal. I mean,
yeah, Bryce Young.
So you look at things like that. Do I think anybody in the Big 12 will get that? I think Spencer Rattler from OU can. He's capable of being that guy. But I just also think at the same time, you know, I don't think his name is spoken about enough because, again, when you just look at social media, you look at the media in general, the news, when it comes to sports news, you know, you're constantly always talking about SEC football players. And even when you look at the draft, you're constantly seeing quarterbacks left and right coming out of the SEC. I'm really trying to think of the last quarterback outside of Kyler Murray that was drafted out of the Big 12. I know you have some big-name guys that I thought that had the opportunity and capable of doing it, but it's just a little bit different when you come out of SEC. I think that just the name recognition, the spotlight, the glamour, I think there's just a lot put on the SEC football. And I think, again, when you look at Oklahoma, when you look at Texas, they have that opportunity to join the conference. I think that it'll bring a lot more attention to these young men. But I also think recruiting would be a little bit different also, just because I just want to see how Texas and how Oklahoma can shake it up when it comes to recruiting in the SEC and having guys that want to stay in the SEC start reaching out and coming to the University of Texas or going to the University of Oklahoma instead of the powerhouses like LSU or Alabama or Georgia, Florida, just to name a few of the teams in the SEC.
Talking to Michael Griffin, longtime member, Tennessee Titans, and, of course, won a national championship playing for the University of Texas, and the news breaking that, indeed, Texas and Oklahoma are leaving the Big 12, and the heavy speculation is that they will go to the SEC. So, Michael, this is all just sort of fresh and sinking in, and thanks for coming on with us to share your perspective, just to, you know, throwing this at you. I do want to take it another level, though, just with another issue that you probably thought about a lot, and that is the NIL. Take yourself back to when you were that age, really high-profile team, national champions, so many star players on there. There's no question you could have taken advantage of that, for sure. But do you think you could have balanced what it was going to take for you to become a first-round pick and a long-time player in the league? Do you think that would have affected your focus, your time that you spent building your craft? You know what I mean? Like, this is going to be something that a player has to balance. There's going to be some dollars on the table that they could get, but at what cost?
You know what? It's and I go back and look. I think I can only speak for myself. I was blessed. I had two parents that were both in the military, and just the educational background of finances and understanding financial literacy. I was just blessed in that aspect. To be honest with you, I had a job ever since I was 10 years old. I started out refereeing soccer games, and from there, I started working at 15 years old at Target. And even when I was in college, I was working at Finish Line. And I didn't have to, but it was just understanding that, you know, when it came to finances, when it came to making my own money, that was something that my parents always taught me, like, hey, listen, you need to go to work so you can pay for your own school lunch and understand how money operates. By the time I got drafted, I actually had $30,000+ in my bank account. So it was one of those things that I lived by a creed where there was a difference between I want than what I needed. And that's why I never got into the expensive jewelry, the expensive cars. And it's funny, people laugh at me now. It's like my friends that I hang out with, they're like, you live in a regular neighborhood. I'm like, yes. Back in 2008, in 2007 I got drafted, but in 2008 we hit like a little bit of a recession here in Texas, and I bought a bunch of rental properties and a bunch of land in 2008. And right now, just looking at just one thing is, you know, money can come and go, but land is never going to go anywhere. So I did a lot of great things, and I think at that moment in time, especially what's going on now, I think I would have been okay because I didn't have family members that depended on me or needed me to buy a new house or anything in that nature, or cars or anything. Both my parents was making over six figures a year. And so I think for me, I was just blessed. And I think I was very, very blessed. I think, you know, for some people it may be a little different to be able to stay focused, to realize, you know, at 18 years old, being a young man and having, you know, money coming in, especially the type of money that's coming in to these young kids, it's going to be tough. It's going to be hard to see can they stay focused, because a lot of people, you know, you hear stories when you get into those locker rooms and see, despite that we may look exactly alike on the outside, but culturally we come from different backgrounds. You know, some people may derail them a little bit, because you got to figure out what's more important and what motivates them. So the thing is I think if there is a program or something that they can establish in place when it comes to these colleges, these universities, to teach financial literacy, to teach, you know, these young men that, you know, the biggest decision they ever made is to pick a university to attend. And from there, you know, you're out from the mom and dad's nest, and you're out there on your own as young men, collectively together as brothers. But I think there needs to be a program that's set in place to try to help and guide these young men, because this is all fairly new to everybody. And I think it can definitely be a good thing and a great thing, but at the same time, it can also derail a lot of players if they're not focused on the right thing.
He is Michael Griffin, former Texas Longhorn and Tennessee Titan. I want to hit you on a couple of other things with the NFL. What are kind of your thoughts on the NFL sending a memo to its teams of basically not saying, hey, you need to go get vaccinated, but basically saying, hey, you need to go get vaccinated, saying that if there's any type of disruption with the season because of unvaccinated players, that the teams would forfeit, money would be lost, there could be, you know, discipline coming from the commissioner. It seems like the league has taken a hard stance on this because they want to get the entire schedule in and want everything to go uninterrupted. So as somebody that played in the league for a long time, what are kind of your thoughts on that?
That's hard. That's hard. I mean, it's one of them things that I think everybody has a right to make that decision on what they want to do. You know, and again, it's a business. So that's one of those things where you got to kind of it puts you in a because the question is, are you selfish for what you want to do? Are you selfish because you don't want to get vaccinated, and due to you not getting vaccinated, you may cause some harm to the team? But at the same time, you have every right to do what you want to do. I don't think when we signed any contracts, you know, when I played, that, hey, you got to get vaccinated. And so it's hard, because I've seen some of the articles. I've seen some players say some things. I know Cole Beasley say he doesn't believe in it. He's not going to do it. There's not enough research. I know DeAndre Hopkins said he's contemplating the NFL because, and again, you got these are guys that are financially able to make decisions like this and can step away from the game if so need be. So I think I would say that, you know, make the best decision for yourself. I know a lot of players opted out last year because, you know, whether it was personal issues or things of that nature. So I think when it comes down to it, you know, you have every right to do what you want to do. And I think collectively as together, I think you got to respect one's wish, but at the same time understand what it may cause and be able to look yourself in the mirror and live with it. And I think that's the most important thing. If you can look yourself in the mirror and live with your decisions, I think that makes you even more of a man than to follow what somebody else wants you to do. But, you know, so I think that's just a personal opinion on or a personal decision that one must make. Despite whatever I may think, I think, again, it just comes down to a personal decision one may make.
On the field, the Titans will open training camp next week. Mike Vrabel going to do his introductory press conference on Tuesday. But a lot of expectations with this football team. I mean, you've added a stud wide receiver to go along with another stud wide receiver and running back on offense. Obviously, Ryan Tannehill returns as the quarterback. Got a couple of questions with the offensive line, but nothing too bad there on the offensive side of the ball. But I think a lot of people are going to be looking at the side that you made a career playing in, the defense. Can Byard bounce back and have a better year? What do these new corners look like, these young corners? So when you see this defense, and you know that they've named the defensive coordinator, Jim Schwartz has come in to help with the defense. They added some pass rush with Bud Dupree. Do you see a defense that makes you feel more confident that they're going to take steps forward from last year when they had some trouble?
You know, it's crazy. And I remember being in those situations. And the situation is, and I told Kevin Byard myself, the expectations is so high because you set the bar so high so early in your career. And so the expectations each and every year is 7-8 interceptions every year. That's the expectations. And despite the fact of, you know, when you're playing with a different safety on the side, Kenny Vaccaro got banged up a little bit last year. Logan Ryan was out the mix. And some other things that kind of played a part when it came to the back half in that secondary. You lost Brian Arakpo. You lost Wesley Woodyard. You lost Derek Morgan, who was a veteran presence in that locker room for a long period of time. I think at this point, the main focus is, you know, who's going to step up as the leader. The leader necessarily doesn't have to be the best player on defense, but it just has to be somebody that everybody respects. And I think when it comes to the defensive side of the ball, I think if you just watch them collectively as a whole, it was just trying to figure out who was the leader of that defense. And I think I really could not pinpoint and see that. Because for so long, it was Brian Arakpo, Wesley Woodyard. Even though there were some instances where he wasn't even starting, you knew that he was still the backbone when it came to that linebacker room. Derek Morgan, Jarrell Casey, those guys, they've been there, and they were a staple of that defense for a long period of time. So when I look at the defense, I definitely think they can take that next step, especially younger guys. Fulton, the young first-round corner, he's a definite animal. I called him Cortland 2.0. People got upset on social media, and it was only because he just resembled Cortland on how he talks, the accent, being from that Carolina, Virginia area, whatever. That's just, if you've been around Court, you know the gold tee just reminded me of Court so much. But he's a great football player, just watching what he can do. The thing is, biggest thing is just stick together, and that's the main thing. You got to block out all the outside noise and just stick collectively together. Rashad Evans, Jayon Brown, those are really two good linebackers. So I really think, and Simmons is definitely the staple of that defense when it comes to being down there in the trenches. He's getting better and better each and every year, each and every game. So I really think this defense can definitely take that next step. But again, it's just when you've done so many great things for so long, I think just everybody expects that and doesn't look at, you know, the supporting cast on how things operate. I noticed Kevin played closer to the line of scrimmage a little bit here and there when Malik Hooker when Hooker had to come in. If I'm not mistaken, that's his name.
Correct.
Is it Book? Okay.
Yeah, he had to Malik come Hooker. In, I know yep.
he, yeah, okay. So when he came in, I think Kevin had to move around and change his position a little bit because he had to You know, Hooker was basically his backup, and so he had to come in. I think Dane Cruikshank was supposed to be Kenny's backup, but Hooker was a better player that comes in, especially when dying. So, again, a lot of those pieces play in that people don't understand on the outside, but I remember when I played at Tennessee, you know, when certain people came in the game, other safeties I got paired with, you got to change your position around. I went more from being in the middle of the field to being more close to the line of scrimmage, and so things changed. So, again, I think, again, the expectation is so high because of where he set that bar at. And I think sometimes he may have felt that he had to do a little bit more. But if he just plays his game, I mean, he's a very, very phenomenal player. People ask who's the best safety. I really think it's between him and Mark Robb, Blaine Bishop, those three safeties right there are guys that I looked up to. Chris Hope helped me out tremendously. But when I go back and look, those three guys right there will be like the Mount Rushmore when it comes to guys that I idolize for the Tennessee Titans.
Well, it's going to be fun to watch, that is for sure. It's Amani Hooker. That was my bad, Amani Hooker.
Amani Hooker. I was thinking of the Colts safety.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I know Hooker. I just want to get his name. Apologize if he's hearing this.
No.
Amani Hooker. We're going to be saying that name a lot this year since he's going to be the starter, so that's good. So.
Yeah, I think he's a stud too. Griff, it's always good to talk to you. Appreciate you taking the time today to hit on a lot of different things. We'll do it again soon.
All right, thank you. Have a good rest of your day.
You too. Michael Griffin, former Titan safety and Texas Longhorn as well, joining us here on the show. And a lot of good stuff there, Willie, on different things, whether it was the NFL or this stuff with
Texas. I like picking his brain when you get down to it. No matter what you're asking him, I think you get a really thoughtful answer with good perspective. So let's come back and talk about some of this stuff. I want to get back to the story here because it is coming out like gangbusters now, the Texas and Oklahoma thing. I want to give you a take on the other side too, which is a little bit more in line where I'm coming from. More money, all of this stuff is great, but I don't think it makes college sports better. That's my theory. I'm sticking to it. And I'll tell you more on the other side, but we'll get more perspective that's coming down the pike here and what the fallout's going to be with reportedly, from Horns 24/7 is where I saw it first, Texas and Oklahoma have decided to leave the Big 12. It's unclear exactly when that will take place. The agreement runs out, the renewal or whatever runs out in 2025. So what happens before that? Will they be lame duck teams for the next couple of years? That remains to be seen. But all signs point to them joining the SEC. We'll come back with more after this on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Let me start it off by telling you about Loan Pronto. I've been telling you about these guys for several months, and this summer has really been one where Loan Pronto has been helping people day after day help themselves financially by taking advantage of two factors: that home values are at an all-time high, a year high right now. Here we are in July. I've been telling you about this for months, and we're still at a year high right now. Your value is high in our listening area if you're a homeowner. The other part is interest rates, mortgage rates, very, very low, a year low. Those two factors, that means you need to call Loan Pronto right now at 615-499-5780 and take advantage of the zero-cost refi. They will get that mortgage payment down, that monthly payment that you cough up every month. It'll be lower for you. And you get to skip the next couple of payments if you act now. So that's another thing that's going to help your budget in the short term. But long term, you're going to save money. The other option is the home equity loan that Loan Pronto can help you with. Take thousands of dollars out of your equity and reinvest it. If you need to pay off some debt, if you want to reinvest in a home improvement project, Loan Pronto can help you with that. And here's the best part. Loan Pronto has the system down. It's all digital. It's streamlined. It's going to happen in a hurry. No paperwork, no working with the big banks, all this stuff. They've got the system that's going to make this very efficient for you. 615-499-5780. Ask about the zero-cost refi or go to loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender. NMLS 1661781. Subject to lender approval. Not all loans eligible.